So it's nice to continue this time of the year when we get close to Shavuos again. But we'll see, Perech Chaf Hei, which is right around the corner, we'll start to talk about the precise date of Shavuos and why the Torah had to be given in the third month and things of that nature. But let's finish up Perech Chaf Dalet. We've been learning the Midrashim about Moshe Rabbeinu's battles with the Malachim. Okay, so tonight we have one more interesting Midrash about Moshe Rabbeinu's petition in Shemayim to receive the Torah. With a medrash beiru b'tzad acher me'eza tzad hayefsher al Moshe lavo b'mechitzas hamalachim v'gam hu nachon. Let's learn one more medrash, says the Maharal, how Moshe Rabbeinu entered into the sacred space of the angels, and you'll see it's very fitting, it's nachon in terms of explaining how Moshe was able to get to that place and to bring down the Torah. Amru kisha'ala Moshe lamarom bikshu malachim lidchoso. When Moshe, the Medrash tells us, when Moshe went up to receive the Torah, the angels wanted to push him away. Oh, chana chenach, he made it from the wedding. Very nice. The angels wanted to get rid of him. They said, well, again, what are you doing here, Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Medrash says an amazing thing. Ma asa kadosh baruch hu, what did Hashem do? Tsar klaster ponav shal Moshe kedmus Avraham. Hashem turned Moshe Rabbeinu into Avraham. All of a sudden, Moshe stopped looking like Moshe, and he changed his ponim, his face, became the face of Avraham. Amar lahem, he said to them, Hashem said to the angels, V'chi ein atem mizbaishim. Meaning the angels are ready to beat up Moshe Rabbeinu. All of a sudden, Moshe is transformed into Avraham, and Hashem says, you're not going to have respect for Avraham. V'chi lo zehu sha'atem achaltem bebeiso. Don't you remember when you went to Avram's house for that good meal? Now that was only a couple of angels, described as Arabs, disguised as Arabs, at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. But the angels, Bigadol and Shemayim, now all the angels, they look at Avram and they're, oh, if it's Avram, then we're not going to start up with him. Oh, we thought it was Moshe. Moshe is worth throwing out of Shemayim. But Avram, Hashem says, you're not going to have respect for Avram Avinu. Shenamar alisa lamarom shavisa shavi lakachta matanos ba'adam. Right? Bishvil oso shenikra adam. Avram Avinu is called an adam. Shenemar, like we find in Sefer Yoshua, ha'odam ha'gadol ba'anakim, the one who is great like giants, which Chazal say is a reference to who? A reference to Avram Avinu. So all of a sudden the angels back off. Oh, what's the pshat? Why did Hashem make Moshe look like Avram, and how is Avram sort of the answer to battling the angels? So biuro, the explanation is, shehevdol v'hefrish yesh min elyonim letachtonim. Again, the basic problem with someone going into the higher spheres is that there's a separation between the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. V'lo haya roi sheyavu ha'adam b'mechitzas Elyonim. And a person who's meant to exist on the world below doesn't really have a right to enter into the space. The same way that, you know, I wouldn't walk into your house unannounced. So the angels say, who are these Tachtonim? Who are these people from the lower world just strutting into our world without permission? But as we've explained, Moshe Rabbeinu had to enter into that space to kind of prove that he has a place, as we learned the last couple of times, tachas kisei hakavod, that he has a place in the Elyonim, amongst the Elyonim, that was necessary in order to bring down the Torah. But the angels were very upset. Aval yesh tzadikim v'heim notim el hamalachim. But there are some tzaddikim who are more angelic than others. And we'll see why Avram Avinu is in that category. Umitzad hazeh ba mechitzas ha'elyonim. And they have more permission to enter into the mechitzas ha'elyonim. Why does an angel have more respect for an Avram Avinu in their space, so to speak? Ki ha'elyonim heim betov. Because if you had to distinguish between the elyonim and the tachtonim, the angels always do good. They don't have free will. Right, as Jake always likes to remind us, right, the centrality of free will in our Avodas Hashem. So angels don't have free will. Angels are inherently good. Human beings have free will, and that means we sometimes do good and we sometimes choose bad. Avram Avinu was a really good person. And I'm using that word good in a specific way, as we'll see. So the Elyonim are Tov, they're good, V'rachokim min hara, and they're distanced from evil. Umidas Avram, if you had to sum up Avram's personality in a single word, Shahaya Gomel Chesed. It's actually very nice. Tonight's Sfira, the 15th night of the Omer, is what is Chesed Shebetiferes. Right? Teferes is Torah, and Chesed is Chesed. And Avram Avinu is really the one whose Midah of Chesed made us worthy of Torah. So Avram Avinu, who's a Gomel Chesed, who's a really good guy, I know it's not a nice way to talk, but Avram Avinu is just such a good person. Hayabo Biyoser Midas HaTov. Avram Avinu was outstanding in this Midah of Tov. So the angels have a problem with humans because humans are sometimes bad. But Avram's such a good person, he's such an Ish Chesed, that the angels don't have a problem with him. In fact, the angels received his Chesed when they came to his tent. Vizesha Amar Sha'asar Klaster Panav Kedmos Avram. So that's what it means. Hashem made what? Moshe look like Avram. Ki lemisha yeshbo midah zos yeshlo panim miuchadim v'hu pnei hatov. The face, the panim, also reveals the pnim, the inner essence of a person. So if you look, if you have the face of Avram Avinu, that means you have the inner essence of Avram Avinu, which means that you're tov. And therefore the angels who are tov, who are fighting over the Torah, which we know the Torah is called tov, are more sympathetic to an Avraham than to a Moshe. Ki lemisha yeshbo midah zos. Again, if you have this midah, panim miuchadim, that special face, which is a pnei tov. Hefech misha yeshbo hara, the opposite of a person who sometimes is involved in ra. Now again, this is not to say that Moshe Rabbeinu is ra. It just means that Avram's reputation, more than anything else, is chesed and tov. As opposed to a person who has a bad reputation, we describe them as having a bad face. Interesting, again, how face is used to distinguish, you know, tov and ra. That's why the Gemara says in Megillah, you're not allowed to look. You're not supposed to look at a demus adam rasha. You're not supposed to look at a rasha. Some say even that that's even true not only for an actual person of a rasha, right? Even a picture. You see a picture of Hitler, yamach shemo, you shouldn't look at it. You see an article in the news about a person who committed an evil act, a horrific act. You shouldn't look at that person's face, because the face reveals the inner essence of a person. So when you look at a tzaddik, you feel transformed by that. When you look at a rasha, you're transformed by that. The face reveals a lot. There are mekubalim who can read a person's face and tell you what type of person you are. That's why some tzaddikim, you know, when their chassidim would come to them, right, the chassidim used to pull their hat down very low over their face because they didn't want the rebbe to read their forehead, as some chassidish tales go. So the opposite of a person who is tov is a person who has a bad face. Tichsiv ufanel lo hayu lo od. Or like it says, Madua Penechem Ra'im, when Yosef HaTzadik is talking to, I think that's the context of that pasuk, right? When Yosef HaTzadik is looking at the, maybe this is by Yosef and the brothers, but also we find when Yosef is in jail, sitting in jail, right? And he sees the saddened face of the Sarah Ofim, right? And the butler, the baker. Why are your faces ra? Why are your faces bad? Right? And again, that's that Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chaf Ches. It's usur to look at the face of an Adam Rasha. V'lakach mi sheyesh bo midas hatov hu hefech zeh. Shapanav tovim. A person who has a good character, it radiates off of their face. V'lakach amr shenase panav kedmus panav shel Avram. So therefore, Dafka, the face of Moshe was transformed into the face of Avram Avinu. And that's what Hashem said to the angels. Aren't you ashamed? You think that this individual standing in front of you is from the lower world, the world of Ra? Now that he turned into Avram, Avram is Chesed, Avram is Tov. Do you remember going down into that world, coming to this person's house? And you enjoyed Avram's food. He served you. He served you so beautifully, so generously. Because Avram Avinu could keep up, so to speak. He had the madrega of the angels. It's dafka for that reason that the malachim came to his house. Right? The angels felt comfortable in Avram's home because Avram was equal to the angels in that midah of tov. And therefore, and it's an interesting expression, the Maharal says, Moshe Rabbeinu wore, so to speak, the midah of Avram Avinu, who is his father. Now, obviously, Moshe is not the direct child of Avram. I mean, he's a direct descendant of Avram, right? He's not the son of Avram. But if Avram is Avinu, we know from many Svarim that an Av has the ability to transmit not only a biological DNA to a child, but a spiritual DNA. So Av and Yaakov were all called Avos. Each one left their mark. And therefore there are times when, as children of the Avos, we can tap into the Midos of our fathers. So says the Maharal, right, again, you'll ask the question, how does Moshe just become Avram Avinu? What do you mean? We can all become Avram Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is representing all of Klal Yisrael. And Avram as Aviv, as his father, V'yesh Laben Koach Aviv. A child has certain qualities of a parent. Kesher Hayitzarach Lo Moshe. Moshe needed to tap into that right now, so he did. U'mizeh Hatzad Hayaba Moshe V'mechitza Samalachim. And it was in that merit that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to grapple with the angels. Now, the Pasuk also said here that that Avram is called an Adam. Right? That the angels had respect for this Adam who you ate by. And Avram is called an Adam, as we saw again in Sefer Yoshua. Ha-Adam ha-Gadol ba-Anakim. Why is Avram called an Adam? U'masha Amar ki Avram nikra Adam, v'pnei ki hayala Avram inyan malach. Avram is called an Adam because, again, he had this quality like a malach. So what? V'haya imze b'tzuras Adam. On the one hand, he's angelic. On the other hand, he's an Adam. And again, that's part of our worthiness of getting the Torah. The angels couldn't accept, they couldn't understand that there could be a person who, on the one hand, is Adam, and on the other hand, is so elevated that he has a place in the Elyonim. So the angels, again, coming to terms with that, like we learned that Moshe Rabbeinu is Tachas Kisei HaKavod, and the angels are only on the outside. Or now, as we're learning, that Moshe Rabbeinu had this quality of Avram Avinu, which is Tov, which is angelic, and at the same time is Adam, who gam kein haschalas ha'Adam, and more than that, Avram Avinu is the beginning of Adam, in a sense. What do you mean Adam? Adam is the beginning of Adam. But Avram is the first Jew, ki Yisrael nikro Adam, and the Jewish people are the true Adam. Right? We try to represent the best of what humanity has to offer, kamosh nisbar, as we've explained, and we'll continue to explain. Va'Avram ha'y haschalas Yisrael, and Avram is the beginning of the Jewish people. So all of this, again, all of these midrashim, these gemaras, they're all coming to answer, again, the simple question that we asked, which, again, is the theoretical question that the angels ask, which is, why would Hashem give the Torah to human beings? It doesn't seem, superficially, to make a heck of a lot of sense to give the Torah to human beings. The Torah is so pure and so holy, it's so transcendent. Why on earth would you give it to planet Earth? Right? Why would you give it to Adam? Well, lefi ma shehayu choshim, and that's exactly what the angels thought. Ki ein roi la'adam ha-Torah. It doesn't make sense to give the Torah to Adam. Shehi seichel elyon. It's pure spirit, the mind of God is the Torah. Va'adavar hazeh hu hefech zeh. And a human being seems to be the opposite of that. How could it be that the Torah should be received by a physical kli? But again, the Maharal takes us back to what we learned earlier in the parak, and that is, yes, in an ironic type of way, that's exactly how it has to be. The greatness of the Torah is the fact that it can superimpose itself upon physical reality. Ironically, an angel doesn't have tselem elokim, but we do. Us, regular human beings of flesh and blood, we have the tselem elokim. We can somehow radiate Hashem's presence more so than an angel. She'en of a malachim. V'hu la'adam. Right? That's strange. Why would Hashem make us more like Him than angels? Ki tzarech al tselem azem bekabel gashri. But that's exactly the point. That tselem, that image of Hashem, that imprint of Hashem, wants to impress itself upon what? A kli, which is gashmi. U'kamo sha'tzelem tzarech she'elo mekabel gashmi. Just like the tzelem elokim is best expressed, is greatest in its manifestation when it's able to imprint itself upon gashmius. And this is a very Hasidic idea. Kach tzarech lekol davar shu elyon legamri mekabel shu gashmi. Something which is very, very lofty. The only way that it could actually fully manifest itself and express itself is if it has a kli, if it has some type of gashmi receptacle to receive it. And again, we emphasized that earlier in the parak. V'havena dvar me'elu, and understand these ideas well. Ve'ein l'harich b'zeh, it's difficult to elaborate upon it any further than this. Ki yoser, ki elu dvar amukim ma'od, because these are very deep ideas, and these are often misunderstood ideas. Ve'od yizvar b'perek sha'achar zeh, and we will further expound upon this idea in the coming parak. Again, I say these ideas are misunderstood, and the Maharal is hesitating to delve into them, because again, you can understand how these ideas can be so easily perverted. You understand how a misunderstanding of this leads to a yashka or a shabtai tzvi, right? It becomes God taking on a physical form, which is true if understood properly. It's Torah, yes, it's Torah dafka having a place in the tachtonim. And it's man being made up of a strange combination of neshama and guf, the part of ourselves which is literally a chelek elokam imao, and the part of ourselves which is literally dirt from the earth. And again, if misunderstood, it sounds like a tremendous yurida. That was all the questions of the philosophers, right? Why would Hashem want to, again, lower his Torah down to this lowly world? But again, if we understand it properly, it's the greatest expression that the Torah has what to say, and the Torah can express itself within physical reality. That's the greatest compliment of the Torah, and the greatest compliment for Hashem Himself. Okay, let's just begin Perek Chafei just for 2 minutes, because it really gets us in the spirit of the days of Sfiras HaOmer. He begins with just a beautiful medrash, which we'll delve into next time. But let's just taste it a little bit. B'chodesh hashlishi litzeis b'nei Yisrael mi'aretz Mitzrayim. The pasuk says that it was in the third month when b'nei Yisrael left Mitzrayim that we came to Midbar Sinai and we began to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah. Says the medrash, and again we've all felt this in a deep way in our lives. Everything happens at the right time. You find your shidduch at the right time. A person is blessed with children, if they're so fortunate, at the right time. You get the right job at the right time. You end up in the right place. Hashem works everything out that it's not random. Things happen in the right time when they're meant to happen. Sometimes we lament the fact, oh, I wish I would have started doing this earlier in my life, or I wish this would have happened earlier on. Everything happens in the right time. Everything happens when it's supposed to happen. The Medrash quotes the pasuk, L'chol zman ve'is l'chol chefetz tachas ha-shamayim, the words of Koheles. Everything happens when it's supposed to happen. Everything has a right time under the sun. Zman haya la'adam ha'rishon shenichnas l'gan Eden. There was a time for Adam to enter Gan Eden, v'yanicheyu began. And there's a time for Adam to get kicked out of Gan Eden, right? When Adam is v'yigarish mi'gan Eden. Zman haya lo l'noach levoa l'teva. There was a precise time for the mabul to take place in the world and for Noach to enter into the teva. And there was a zman for Noach to leave the teva. Shenamar tse'ata. Right, go out, you and your family, from the teva. Zman hayala Avram shia nimol. Avram didn't get his bris milah till he was 99 years old, even though a bris milah is on the 8th day. But that was the time for Avram. That was the right time. Shenamar va'ata as a brisi tishmor. Vizman hayal lebanav shia molo b'shnei makomos. There was a time for the Jews to have a delayed milah in Mitzrayim, a time for the Jews to get circumcised in the midbar, and there's some people who get circumcised on the 8th day of their life. Right, as the pasuk says, "Ki mulam hayu kol ha'am hayotzim." Ve'eis l'chol chayfet zman haya shetinasein Torah liYisrael. One of the biggest questions. Hashem waited 2,500 years almost to give the Torah to the world. Why? That was the right time. Amr of Brechia zman haya la'osu chayfet shayanasun lamalam in hashamayim shetinasein lamatam in hashamayim. The Torah preceded the world many, many generations, but that which was given its time to exist in the higher worlds, had a time when it was meant to be given to this world. Ve'ezo zeh Torah. And what is that again? What is that great gift that was stored in Shemayim and eventually was given down to the world below? Ve'yevet Hashem al Har Sinai. Everything in the right time. Ve'yedaber Elokim es kol ha'dvar me'ela lemor. Hashem spoke all of these matters at the right time in the year 2448 from creation when Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. Okay, so we'll delve into it next time. The Maharal, Kedarko B'Kodesh, again, will explain everything is precise. Everything happened at the right time. Adam entering and leaving Gan Eden is precise. The Mabul is precise. Bris Milah is precise. And obviously we'll see, first and foremost in our mind, Kabbalah Satorah is very precise. There's a right time. There's a reason that we got the Torah in the third month. There's a reason we got it at that particular day. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll get to see. By the time we get to Shavuos, we'll understand why the date of Shavuos, which doesn't even have a date really in the Torah, has in fact a very, very mysterious but very precise date. Okay? All right, we'll stop here for tonight. Questions, comments? Jake, I feel like you got something to add.
You have much time.
Right?
For
a time frame. A time for war, a time for peace. Yeah.
Right.
Time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to uproot. Yeah.
The thing becomes rooted.
Everything in the right time. That's right. All right. Shavua Tov, everyone. Hope to see you Tuesday night. Have a great night.